Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network, and I am your host, Em.
I'm Steve. And I'm Jack. No, I'm kidding, Paul.
Read the script. It's right there.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net. And go ahead and click on our contact page, and that will direct you in the various ways that you can reach us via our email or our social networking with Facebook and or Twitter. If you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes. And that is how we get traffic. So in order for us to get more attention, we need to have more reviews on iTunes. Thank you guys for who have reviewed us so far. And please, especially some of you guys who have been listening to us since Thrace Relations, that'd be great if you guys gave us a review, because I know you guys are out there.
There's got to be a couple of you.
So thank you for joining us today. This episode, we are discussing episode 5 from season 2 Vikings, which is titled Answers in Blood. It's directed by Jeff Woolna. I'm hoping I pronounced that right. And of course, it's written by Michael Hurst. This podcast episode, we're actually going to have a feedback section that we'll get to right before we do the speculation. But we'll first start off with talking about what we thought about the episode as usual. So I love this episode. I don't know how you guys felt about it.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, it was great.
Mm-hmm. It dealt with a lot of things I was waiting to see. I liked the direction they're going with Athelstand. So it's cool. I like it.
This one really delivered. There was a couple episodes where they covered a lot of ground. You know, they kept going back to different stories, but this one pretty much stayed focused on two stories and split it up half and half, and it was really effective.
Yeah, I was surprised with the direction of Athelstan. He always surprises me. He surprised me last episode, and it's interesting and it's engaging, and I like that I don't have expectations, and I don't know. I knew that King Ecbert was going to use him some way, but I didn't know at this particular capacity. I get more and more respect for King Ecbert every time I see him, too.
He's Thrawn. I'm telling you, he is. He's just smart.
Admiral Thrawn.
He's really learning his enemy he's going to be a lot of trouble.
All right, so we're going to go into recap. The episode opens with the reuniting of Rollo and Lagertha. He is happy to see her. She says she and her son are only happy to come to Ragnar's aid. This is when Rollo looks to Bjorn and greets him warmly by grabbing his balls.
Oh, yeah. He gets a good grab, too.
He says, "You've grown big," and he just kind of just grabs him. Then he gives him shit, though, and he's like, "But you still can't grow a beard."
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Baby face.
Bjorn says to Rollo that everything is new now.
That's awesome. It made me feel warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah, because I think that's something for Bjorn as well. It says something about Rollo.
Mm-hmm.
Then Floki looks into Bjorn's face and is pleased with what he sees.
He gives him that little forehead tap like he did in the very first episode of season 1.
Yes.
You know, just almost like he's psychically touching him to make sure it's really him. And then you see his eyes light up. He's like, "It's you."
Which, the reason why he's so hostile to Athelstan is because he's supposedly able to read people's faces. So is he seeing something in Athelstan that we do not?
I don't know. It could be several different things, I think. I think there's a little bit of jealousy on the way Ragnar would go and talk to him and get advice instead of going to Floki. And then I think it could just be him being a Christian. I mean, it really could be several different things.
I agree with what Paul's saying. I think he is jealous, you know. But at the same time, I think he's reading confliction on his face. Because I think Athelstan is sincere in his desire to, you know, accept their religion. But he's been so indoctrinated in Christianity that's got to be a hard thing. And that's why Athelstan's going through what he's going through right now, is because he's getting pulled in two different directions. And so he
doesn't want anybody conflicted around Ragnar or Ragnar because...
Oh, yeah. Floki wants everybody dedicated to what they're doing. Because, I mean, you can look at his personality. He's definitely an all-in type person. Yeah. So
that makes sense, because it'd be for the safety of Ragnar.
Mm-hmm.
True. Yeah. And for the good of the whole tribe, I guess, for lack of a better term.
Okay. Were you going to say something, Paul?
I was going to comment on how I think Floki kind of reminds me of like a crazy redneck. It's just one of those things. You know, like I grew up with kids that were kind of like that. And he's the wild card. You never quite know what he's going to do.
Like you have a Confederate hat that says the South will rise again.
I don't even know if it's like that. Just, you know, you're hanging out in the woods or doing something. No, he's really fun to be around. But you never quite know what he's going to do. That kind of, you just really don't know what Floki's going to do. Like when he got off the beach in the last episode and he gets his girl and kind of almost starts weeping, you know, telling the story and being real emotional. He's just a complete wild card and you just never know.
I understand. Everybody has one of those friends when they're growing up to where everybody's just hanging out in the woods doing something. And you see that person run by you and then you turn your... turn over your shoulder and you see something on fire.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly. You're
like, ah.
Yeah, you just don't know. You love them, but Lord.
From a distance. Lagertha and Siggy meet eyes, and Siggy gestures toward Auslug.
Oh, yeah, she has that look. Stardust is like, you might want to brace yourself for this. Ragnar's been busy in your absence.
Lagertha approaches Auslug and her sons and meets the baby. Ragnar walks in and says, enough with the pleasantries, time to get to business.
Now, Lagertha was really, I'm going to start pronouncing it that way because apparently everybody else is.
On the show, yeah.
Yeah, on the show. And you know, we were Lagertha. Always saying Lagertha, but I guess it's Lagertha. And she's actually really full of grace in this scene because I imagine that would the whole episode, yeah. Because I imagine that would be really difficult to pull off, you know, to go see your ex-husband. And then to see his current wife, and she's standing there with a brood, you know, and you've got that one son. Yeah, you know, as cool as he is, but still.
So Torstein says that even with the additional forces Lagertha brought, they cannot take Kattegat with a direct attack. They decide to destroy the Wintergreen stores instead. Floki says he will do it. Ragnar says no, that he and his son will do it.
But you know he's been chomping at the bit for years to do something with this kid.
This is their version of a fishing trip.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Okay, so now we're switching to a scene with King Egbert. He's making judgment on a battered bride with the aid of Athelstan's pagan exposure. I thought that it was interesting that the showrunners had Egbert and Athelstan consider the pagans' views towards women to be superior to the English. And I'm not sure if that is actually what men of those times would have actually thought, but I like that they decided to slant it this way anyway.
Well, it just shows that Egbert's learning. I mean, it just makes me think that he would judge this case this way just to ingrain and maybe into his own brain, okay, this is how they think on certain things, because it almost shows, and probably it almost shows a weakness on the Vikings' part, you know? I mean, not... I'm saying that it's a weakness, but it might show, you know, different avenues that he can take whenever they go into battle.
I really like this scene because they're using Athelstan as a fulcrum, almost, between the two cultures.
Yeah.
And from a historical, I mean, this is the History Channel, so from a historical and cultural point of view, they're using him as a sort of conduit to illustrate the differences between these cultures. So they're saying, you know, like he's playing the same role for Egbert that he was playing for Ragnar in a certain way. You know what I mean? They're saying, well, I'm going to use you as a font of information about my enemies. And it's weird. It's really cool that they're pulling that off, and they've got him in the middle of it. And it's just like I think it's a genius move to do that, you know, to have him there doing that. And, you know, so now Egbert's kind of picking his brain about the pagan Viking ways, whereas Ragnar was doing the same thing about, like, well, what would Christians do? What does this concept mean? What does that mean? And so, but as far as that whole property thing, yeah, I don't know. I mean, did they really think that?
I don't know. Probably. It wouldn't surprise me.
I mean, there's people who think that now. I guess it's not too far-fetched that way back then they would have. But it's kind of, it's not kind of, it's really interesting how King Egbert kind of defers to what Athelstan is saying about the pagan ways of handling it. And he's like, okay, well, I'm going to look at it this way and say that your husband has no claim to do that. So.
Yeah, I think it's as long as he agrees with it, I think there could be some other ruling that came down that, you know, the pagans do something that he probably considers pretty brutal and he wouldn't just.
Right. Well, it's just on this point because Athelstan says, well, not all judgments are more correct than ours. But.
So now we're back at Kattegat. Ragnar, Bjorn, Ulrik, and Eric make their move on Borg's winter stores. And I really like this scene. Ragnar talks to Bjorn of when he was 8 years old and how Bjorn was always wanting to fight with his father. Now here they are. And then they start to their advance. Ulrik and Eric are the distraction team, while Bjorn and Ragnar set out to burn the stores. We get to see Ragnar use his axe, which was pretty cool. Ulrich and Eric are set upon by dogs, and Eric gets taken down by these dogs, where Ulrich manages to flee, but ends up in combat with two others soon after, and he suffers some wounds.
It was a really cool fight in the alleyway there.
The slow stab that you mentioned.
Yeah, the slow stab. I mean,
that is harsh.
Because you know you're going to feel every inch it goes in. I know.
We see Bjorn make a kill by slicing a man's throat. And then Ragnar and Bjorn are in the hold that contains the Wintergreen. Ulrich arrives and is obviously severely wounded. Ragnar and Bjorn set the grain alight. They leave, aiding Ulrich. Next scene, we have Borg examining blood on a rock. He's hunting down Ragnar and his men. His wife wants to know what he's going to do, and he tells him, "I'm going to hunt these men down." And she does not want him to go because she's with child. And he goes anyway after touching her face with his bloody hand.
Yeah, with the same hand, he kind of caresses her face after she says, "I'm with child."
Little love pats.
Yeah. So I guess those dogs were able to track blood. Is that why they had him out there?
You never know. It could have been smell, blood. I mean, hunting dogs, you know, because they're definitely going to use them for that.
Are they just using regular tracking, like looking for footprints and then blood on the rock and stuff like that?
Yeah. Because
I wonder if that rock's going to come back with during the Blood Eagle episode.
That's awesome.
Well, Ulrich was bleeding this whole time, we can assume.
Yeah, that was probably his blood left behind, which, as we see, he's not too far away. And it looks really cool, too. I like the way they framed that shot of Ulrich off in the distance. And then they get closer to Ulrich, and he's obviously dead, but still defiant looking.
That's pretty cool.
Is he dead for sure?
Yeah, he's dead.
Yeah, because they kind of just like, and he just falls over, man. Plus, he was like blue, I think.
Yeah.
Wasn't he?
Okay, yeah. I mean, I didn't know if he was just like at death's door and they just kind of said, "This is the one last thing you can do for the good of Kattegat."
I think he might have died that way. Like, he stood there for a while holding himself up and like got into position and then just luckily had that spear there to hold him up.
Yeah, yeah, he probably volunteered himself. Mm-hmm. I'll do this.
Yeah, I'm not going to make
it. Still pretty cool either way.
Yeah, it's fucking awesome.
So, yes, they discover that he's dead, and this is when Floki blows a horn, and he's taunting just by being Floki. He doesn't even have to really.
No.
Then we have some more men show up behind Floki, and then some more. So it was like this nice, slow reveal of their might.
I like the look on Borg's face when he kind of sees them all. He's just like, "God damn it."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, at first, when he sees the first group of men, I think he was just like, yeah, I could take them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Auslaug is having a vision or something. I don't know if they were showing that she was having some sort of vision about the battle.
That's the way I took it.
Yeah, because really, the camera went into her eye. Mm-hmm, so
into the battle, so it makes sense.
And she talks about prophecy later, but she talks about a son. So now we have the battle. And it's a tight and close battle like we've seen before. They're using their shield wall tactics on both sides. The Ragnar family look out for each other throughout the battle. Borg and Ragnar eye each other over the fighting men. Borg's men form up for what I call the Red Rover maneuver.
It is, too. That's awesome.
Ragnar realizes what's about to happen, and he tells everybody to brace, to hold steady. Bjorn gets knocked over. Both Ragnar and Lagertha look on with concern, and Ragnar tells him to get up. He finally gets up, and he gets some real good, you know, hits in, kills some men. I don't know if Ragnar didn't see that or something, but
he's fighting his way up when he starts to stand. You know, he doesn't wait till he gets back on his feet to join the battle again. He's fighting from knee and then the other knee.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, so I actually thought he had some pretty good fighting chops.
He did good, but Ragnar's going to be tough on him, just in the simple fact that he knows there needs to be some improvement compared to the way, you know, the other adult Vikings fight. You know, they just, he's just going to be a tough dad.
He wants him to survive.
Absolutely.
True. So we see some highlighted fights, specifically with Rollo and Ragnar. Borg's men begin to flee. Ragnar actually throws his axe, and it seems like as it's going to hit Borg, and we see Ragnar turn over a man with the same douchey pigtailed beard as Borg, but it's, alas, it's not him. But we see Borg escaping with his men.
It's funny because he pulls that guy off the horse and gets on it himself. Dick.
He's like Humperdinck, like that petulant villain. He turns to look at Ragnar with bitter enmity as he's getting on his horse to take off. And he's got like blonde highlights on the tips of his hair, I noticed. And Ragnar looks on angrily that Borg has managed to escape. Rollo tells Bjorn he fought well. Ragnar says that Bjorn has a lot to learn.
Good uncle, tough dad. Mm-hmm. It's real life.
Ragnar and his company are welcomed back to Kattegat as heroes. Lagertha herself is welcomed back by old friends.
So I guess Borg went back and collected his wife and the rest of his men, you think?
I don't know.
So I was expecting her to be there. I was like, oh shit, Borg's pregnant wife is going to be in the camp, but he must have gone back.
That would have been interesting, mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
He went back for him.
They just kind of glazed over that.
Yeah, like where did, because he, you know, Borg isn't expecting to fail, so. Mm-hmm.
I'm sure they were on horses and riding fast. Could have beat him. Yeah. Everybody get the fuck out of here. Let's go.
This scene, though, when they're coming back into Kattegat and everybody's, you know, giving hugs and stuff to everybody except Aslaug. She's yeah. just kind of like.
Well, I think at the beginning, some woman does come up and kind of greets her a little bit, but she's just kind of like, meh. Like, mm-hmm. I just want to get to my nice bed. And one thing that Borg's wife says, she said that Kattegat's dirty too. So I guess her and Aslaug have the same kind of attitude about things.
Well, they're full-blown princesses. You know, they're used to finer things.
The Ritz-Carlton Kattegat. Mm-hmm.
Like, Kattegat's not too dirty for Aslaug, so that's good.
Yeah.
So we're back with Athelstan, and he's hanging in the village square when he's approached by Aethelwulf. Aethelwulf talks to Athelstan about Northumbria and sees if he wants to join his father on a trip to visit King Ella. He asks if he's a pagan now, and Athelstan does not answer. He tells him he should attend Mass and then leaves. Athelstan thinks he sees Mary, the Mother of Christ, when it turns out to be the woman who was pardoned based on his consultation earlier in this episode. She kisses him sweetly and thanks, and then walks away.
Now, do you think this is why he goes to Mass? Or is it just Athelstan's a survivor? Do you think he just goes to be a survivor, you know?
It's the confliction again, mm-hmm. because he's thinking he's having a vision of Mary, the Mother of God, mm-hmm. but it turns out to be this woman who is saved by him advocating pagan ways.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, these two sides, once again, are buttoned up inside of his head, and so it's messing with him big time.
He's searching, I think. So now we're back in Kattegat. They are making a sacrifice of one of Borg's men. Rollo was going to do the honor, but Ragnar takes it from him and gives it to Bjorn.
I'd rather have Rollo do it if I'd been that guy.
Yeah.
Bigger, more confident, cleaner hit.
You want the strongest guy in the village doing that, for sure.
And they didn't lay him down. I thought that was interesting. I mean, they chopped the head off with him sitting up.
And they did that in the first episode of mm-hmm. season one, because you mentioned that then, I remember.
Yeah.
And Rollo has a look on his face when Ragnar comes to take the axe from him just for a second. He's just like, man, you always taking shit away from me.
But fuck.
Then I think he just swallows it.
It's for Bjorn, too. It's like, all right.
He's learning to swallow his pride, Rollo mm-hmm. is. Lagertha watches apprehensively when Bjorn beheads the man. I think it's part of her letting go of him as a mother.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way I can read that. I'm not really quite sure, because I think it's part of their culture, so it has to be that. So
she knows it's necessary, kind of, but mm-hmm. she doesn't want to see it at the same time.
Yeah, that's tough to do. Ragnar looks at Lagertha and Aslaug from a distance, then he pays a visit to the seer.
This is a good scene. Mm-hmm. I like this scene.
Ragnar wants both women. The seer tells a story of Skaldi and Njord. It involves feet. And after he mentions feet, we see that the seer is sitting reclined with his legs extended toward Ragnar with bare feet himself.
Oh, I didn't even notice that, son of a bitch.
I think he wanted a foot rub.
Lick my foot.
Yeah.
I've upgraded.
The palm's no longer good currency here. Yeah. Well, the story was just basically the giant woman.
Yes, yeah, Skaldi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, who she, what had happened to her? She lost a husband or?
She lost a father.
A father. Yeah.
And she, you know, in payment, instead of gold, she wanted a husband and a belly full of laughter.
Yeah. And she had strode to Asgard to get that. And they said that you could pick among any of us. And she chose based on the guy's feet. But it turns out that he was just like this leathery old sea god or seafaring god or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
And so Ragnar's just kind of like, I don't care. You know, I don't care what your story's getting at or hinting at. What am I supposed to do? And is the answer, because he basically asks to see her, am I supposed to pick, you know, based on their feet? And he's like, not on that and not on their face either, but on their insides, their heart and their liver and their spleen. It's like, what is that?
Well, even at the end,
their
he's like,
soul.
Yeah, yeah, but even after that, he's like, but then you're going to realize you really have no choice in the matter.
Yeah, it's not up to him.
No, idiot.
I think the heart and the liver, it's like it's their heart as in, you know, what they're passionate about and their character.
Yeah.
I think like what Paul said, it doesn't matter. The gods are going to choose anyway. And I think that's why Ragnar doesn't make a he does go and talk to both of them, but he doesn't really make a move.
Force. Yeah, he doesn't force a judgment. He just lets them know what he would like. And then lets it go.
I don't think the seer had to confer with the gods on this one. Mm. You're talking about two strong-willed women. The guy isn't going to be able to make the decision.
Uh-uh.
It's not, yeah.
And did the seer make a comment about being 200 years old?
He said hundreds of years old. He said
it's not a long story when you're hundreds of years old.
I don't know if he's referencing himself or the gods.
I don't know.
Probably the gods.
Probably.
Athelstan attends mass with the king and Aethelwulf. Athelstan has visions of pagan sacrifices as well as the sacrifice of Christ. And I like how they blended the music.
Mm-hmm.
Athelstan accepts the sacrament. It's called the sacrament, right?
Yeah,
it is.
Okay.
It is. Yes.
I was not raised a Christian, so I have
the body of Christ.
I have to check.
That's Corpus Christi.
Yes.
For the body of Christ.
Yeah, corpse of Christ, right? Corpus Christi. Got that. So Athelstan accepts the sacrament and then tries to spit it out covertly.
Fucking idiot.
Aethelwulf sees him. Aethelwulf sees him.
I mean, blatantly. You know, he could have just maybe, like, pretend to tie a sandal or bandages or something.
Or just coughed.
Yeah.
Or
just something.
And,
he got cold busted.
When the wolf is looking at him, Athelstan's just kind of like, he looks abashed.
Hmm.
You know, he's like, oh, his eyes kind of go down.
It would have been better. And snuck it back in.
it would have been better if he just, when the king's son's looking at him, he just kind of winks like.
Yeah.
I remember reading somewhere that Aethelwulf, when he becomes king, he's like a really religious king, which makes him like not as effective as other kings of England. Ragnar's children play together. That's Bjorn and his half-brothers. Auslaug and Ragnar have a moment. She tells Ragnar that she will bear him another son, but she is fearful of the prophecy. She then asks, what is he going to do about Lagertha?
Now, I don't remember the prophecy.
Yeah, which one is it?
She doesn't say.
I think she's talking about their next son, which his name will be Ivar the Boneless.
Hmm.
So, I don't know.
That doesn't sound very good.
No.
Well, they don't know why he's the Boneless, like, in history. Like,
he's got no backbone, you know, just a wuss.
No, like, he might have had a bone condition. I think I've read about where possibly he had to be. It just doesn't make any sense because I think he's a great warrior. So I don't know.
Maybe he takes the bones out of people. I don't know.
Talk of him being has to do with possibly sexual things too. I don't know.
Ooh, no boners.
Yeah. Isn't this a scene too where he says it's nice to see them play, my sons? And she's like, maybe nice for you, but not for me.
I don't. Yeah. She said she didn't say that specifically. She said.
For you.
For you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's
how I would do it. Yeah.
And then it's implied. So great. Yeah, because then if it's good for both of them, she would just agree. But she's like, well, it's good for you.
I thought it was more like,
it's a little bit
like
of
it's a gift for you, like for you. I didn't take it that way. I guess I'm just a lot more charitable toward her than most people. I just didn't take it that way.
She's pretty jelly in this episode.
Yeah.
She's pretty jelly.
But she's like, her style of jealousy is not too bad, though. She's least calm about it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was her idea last season to have them all live together, so she's not too bad. She's at least down for the...
But she knows enough about Ragnar and, you know, Lagertha to know that when she shows up again that there's going to be something that needs to be addressed.
Yeah, she asks if she should go, and he says he does not want either of them to leave, and he wants them both to stay.
Because he's a horn dog.
She wants to believe that he loves her, and I think that's, you know, just been... the thing that's been underlying everything we've seen with her when she says bye to him before he goes to England and the pain on her face. I think she's very lonely.
He's like pretty dismissive of it too, because she's like, I just want to know you love me. And he's like, then, I want to believe that you love me. And he's like, well, then just believe it then. You know, that's all you got to do. It's that simple.
He's like, I'm tired of you asking me about this. I fucking love you. All right. So Ragnar visits Lagertha at Siggy and Rollo's place. Ziggy and Rollo give them privacy. They go out and sit in the rain.
I know, in the hay.
That's awfully nice of them.
I think the wall behind them, that's wainscoting. Is that what that, like, where they weave?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, it looked like it, as far as I know.
Ragnar tells Lagertha that both her and Bjorn should stay. She says that his wife would not be happy. He says he imagines not. Now, Ziggy asks Rollo if he's still in love with Lagertha. He says yes and no. He says he is like a snake who has shed its skin. The new Rollo does not love Lagertha or suffer from desires toward her.
But he also said the pattern's still there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's significant as well.
It's a great answer.
The tendency.
He knows he's a new person, but he has to be vigilant to make sure that the old Rollo doesn't come back and kind of take over. Which is, you know, it's a brutally honest way to assess yourself whenever you turn over a new leaf. It's like, I'm still the same person, but I'm endeavoring and I'm striving to do better and different. So, you know, it's all going to be based on what I do, and I'm not just going to be controlled by
his feelings.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you still have to perform character management. You don't just become born anew and it's just easy after that.
But they're really trying to give us the Rollo we want, I think, these last couple of episodes. And I'm all for it, because I've always wanted to root for this guy since the beginning. And I would always get upset whenever he would do something that would make me not like him.
Piss you off. It's like, fucker.
I just feel like the shoe's going to drop. The other shoe's going to drop. Do you get that feeling like something's going
to... Yeah, but I hope that it doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, I want Rollo to stay good.
I think what's going to happen is I'll save this for the speculation section. It's not so much of a speculation as an observation, but I'll still save it for that.
We're now back with Athelstan. And, yes, I don't know if this is a common thing to say when you're in prayer, but to ask the Lord to come into him and ravish him, it's no wonder the devil visits. That's what I'm thinking. he sees a monster under his bed, and he suffers a wound, a scratch on his face, and apparently it's the devil.
Well, the devil is always taking the form of a serpent.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just, I guess, symbolic of his, you know, I think he's trying to accept, this is my take on this, I think he's trying to accept Christianity back into his life, and everything is becoming symbolic, so he's seeing the paganism that he participated in as of the devil, and this is what it is, attacking him from, you know, in the darkness.
That's a great way to look at it.
That's just how I saw it. So, but it's, you know, is it a hallucination? But where did the cut come from on his face?
And maybe being like not secure in your loyalty toward one thing makes you vulnerable towards like
the influence of the devil.
Yeah, is that what you just said? Basically,
no. But it's a extrapolation of the point, I suppose.
Or he's becoming a seer and he's going to take the creepy old guy's place in Kattegat.
Maybe. Does that scratch have significance? Is that going to influence him in some way? It feels like that's something.
I think it just made it real for him. That's all it did in my, you know, how I look at it, is that it just made it, okay, if nothing had happened, he would have questioned himself on whether or not he actually saw it or not. With a scratch on it, it makes it a little more real, you know?
It looked
tough, though. It was a tough-looking little monster.
Isn't that from something?
They call the devil Old Scratch.
It's Old Scratch?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay. So Ragnar is now fulfilling Earl duties with the help of his young son, I think it was Fitzirk, when that's with the three sheep.
Oh, yeah.
And when Torvald, the grave messenger, arrives and to reveal the news of what happened in England. And I think that being a messenger is Torvald's superpower.
Yeah.
This guy
yeah,
can travel great distances. And, yes, it just seems just
Well, there's one
flawless.
Thing that he says that I don't agree with. And he says bad news – or good news travels faster than bad news, because Ragnar's asking him why it's taken him so long to hear this. And it's like, maybe it was true back then, but nowadays it seems to be the exact opposite. I think we hear bad news before we hear good news, because everybody likes to tell you bad news.
Well, why didn't
more ratings?
Why didn't the other king and his men just travel back with a messenger?
Yeah. Now, are they, you're talking about Hork?
Yeah, because he said only a couple of his men and him survived. Why didn't they travel back?
Digging in, holding strong. He's going to take England, goddammit.
I think we're going to find out next episode for sure.
But so we learn that King Horik and his son survived. That was for us, too. And then Lagertha interrupts and has an announcement. She is leaving Bjorn and Kattegat and returning to her husband. She's a responsible woman, as you said, Paul, last episode, and it is the right thing for her to do. She asks the entire village to watch out for Bjorn and says to Ragnar that Bjorn is all she has left.
Snap.
I know, it's heart-wrenching.
Before Lagertha leaves, Auslaug thanks her. And like you said, Steve, Lagertha is as graceful as she is brave. When she mounts her horse, Bjorn tells her not to take any more shit. She says, "Who do you think I am?" Bjorn watches her ride away proudly.
That better not be the end of her. Nah. That better not be all we see of her.
It's not. She'll be back. It's not.
Yeah, she's too much of a predominant character. It better
I'm just going to go and say it. She's my favorite character in the show.
Yeah, so. I have to agree.
I don't know about that. I think Floki's mine.
Floki and Bjorn are probably going to tie for second. And then Athelstan.
What about Ragnar?
Yeah. Athelstan. See, I'd go,
that's what gonna,
I'd go Floki, Ragnar, Rollo. Then his son.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rollo's moved up in the ranks. Because he seems more of like... I mean, a lot of different people, I think, can connect with Rollo. Because we all have the things that we've done that we're just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
You know? And it's showing that he wants to be different. So Rollo's moved up for me. I like his son, but his uncle's a lot cooler. Plus, yeah, he always goes into battle with nothing on practically. Yeah. He's just a badass.
It's almost like he had a dress on in his last battle.
I know.
But I guess I would say Lagertha and then Athelstan, then possibly Rollo and Floki.
Oh, I forgot about Athelstan.
Yeah. That would be, and then Bjorn, because Bjorn's going to be a good character, but right now he's still kind of
forming. In formation.
I liked the kid Bjorn a lot, and I'm liking the adult one too, but it's going to, I guess it should take a while before he gets into the top five.
Yeah, Lagertha is definitely my favorite. I have to say, I think Ragnar is my second favorite. I really like Ragnar. And has nothing to do with that image on my computer.
Sure.
Okay, so we're going to do feedback first. So we'll do the email first.
Okay, awesome.
This is from Mick. "Hey, guys, love the podcast. I agree with most things you guys say. However, I wish I could agree that the battles were as good as you guys say they are. The things that bother me the most is that some of the axe strikes look too light compared to the results, and the lack of blood with some knife cuts. Not trying to be disagreeable, just thought I'd share my thoughts. Keep up the good work. All hail Lagertha."
I see what they're talking about, but what people have to think about too is that this is on the History Channel. You know, they're gonna dial a lot of the limbs being cut off. They're gonna dial it, I think, quite a bit back. You know, if this was on Stars or even on A&E, they would be able to get away with it a little more. But I think, you know, I think the battle formations and the way that they've been doing it are correct. It's just, you got to kind of take it for where it's coming from.
I got 2 points to address on that. The first one is kind of agreeing with Paul. If this was Spartacus, say, or if this was a Quentin Tarantino movie, we would see buckets and buckets of blood. Because, and that leads into the second point, which is, I think we're desensitized to how real violence looks, in at least in America, if not just in Western society and as a whole. And it's because we have this sensationalized version of it on TV and on the big screen. Every time we see violence, it's just
over the top.
It's over the top. There's way more blood. There's slowdowns and there's speed ups, and everything looks like it's perfectly choreographed, like a ballet. And that's very pleasing to the eye to watch, and it's very satisfying from a point of view of somebody watching it. But it versus reality, I think what's going on in Vikings, the battle scenes are actually very realistic, and how they kind of all get into a big cluster in the middle, and everything looks slow, and you don't know who's fighting who, and it's just shield against shield. That's how they fought then. You know, and the one-on-one, hand-to-hand, it, like I said, it's not as flashy as some of these other things, but it's a lot more realistic. Yeah. So I have to disagree with Mick and say that I think that it's I guess I've already said it a dozen times, but it is realistic to
even
me.
Even in this episode of the Red Rover strategy, it makes sense because you want to bust that line up, you know, because you're not going to get through and get as many swings.
The shields.
In. Yeah, so it worked.
Well, thanks, Mick, for writing in, by the way.
And definitely.
I just want to say that I haven't actually noticed that the axes weren't hitting as hard as they should or lack of blood. So, I'm not, like, I guess really good at finding things like that. I just find the battles very satisfying. I get really excited when I see them. And everything I've seen so far, I buy. Mm-hmm. And even the one-on-one fights look really great. And then the axe throws look really great. But...
if you've ever, I don't know how many listeners out there have ever actually been hurt by a knife or, God forbid, an axe, but you don't need much poundage behind it to hurt
if
you.
If it's sharp.
Yeah, you could swing that thing yourself and accidentally hit your other arm, and you're digging in pretty deep.
Yeah.
You know, and it, but it's also unrealistic, too, to think that every axe swing is going to
connect,
number one, or take off a limb if it does. You know, a lot of it is just going to be people getting hurt or blows get deflected. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not just going to be like this chop style, you know, or...
And if any of you others listening have any comments on this, you know, just go to our noship.net page and go to our contact page specifically, and you can write to us and we can continue this conversation. We have a couple more points of feedback from Twitter. First, I'll start with Briskier. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He asked about the Audible book I had mentioned, and that's actually... For everybody, if you were interested, I had mentioned it last episode when I was talking about society and warfare for the Vikings, and it's the Vikings by the Great Courses, and it's very engrossing read. It's broken up into chapters, so you don't have, you know, you can listen to small portions at a time. I have a long commute to work, so it's perfect for me. Briskier also was commenting on Answers in Blood, and he asks, "Is this the last we'll see of Lakratha?" I think so. I don't think so.
Nah, she'll be back.
She better. That's all I know. She better.
Yes. Yeah, so when we get to speculation, we could talk a little bit more about that. And I'll explain why I think that, Briskier. And then Briskier also asks if Athelstan will be responsible for converting 1 million pagans to Christianity. What do you guys think?
Thumbs down on that. That's not kind of...
I don't know. I don't have... It's Athelstan's up in the air for me. I don't know what to expect.
Like, I just... would refer back to what I said earlier in the pod about Athelstan being that go-between the two. I think he's there to illuminate the differences and let the two different cultures learn about each other. I don't think he's going to convert anybody.
Well, with, you know, the merging of the music, and you mentioned him being a fulcrum, so like the fulcrum of his mind, there's like kind of a merging going on. I don't know if it's just going to be that exactly, just where you've got both these cultures kind of coming together and both of them are going to have...
So that would be like... symbolic of the cultures merging in some
sense,
and, like
they're merging
in influences
are you know, and he's going to represent
that could be like a harbinger of the future things to come.
Well, if he goes back to Christianity, we know Floki, next time he sees him, just going to cut his head off. So
yeah, well, I mean, if you go to Norway today, they are, you know, a predominantly Christian nation, so
that's true.
You know, I at some point this does happen. As far as Athelstan being the catalyst for that, I can't say.
So next we have Mike Spa, and I hope I pronounced your name correctly as well. He asked if we dropped a Wheel of Time reference in podcast 2. And I had responded and said most likely we did, because it does often come up. When we did Thrace Relations, it came up quite a bit. And I actually had to go back and listen. And Steve, you had mentioned it, the saw in his eye, and we were talking about Sigurd.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, with Ragnar's kid.
And then I had mentioned King Lamond toward the end and the tree. And then
we're all big fans.
Yeah, stay tuned for more references.
That won't stop.
We reference a lot of different bodies of work in the sci-fi and fantasy universes, and we don't always follow it up with an explanation. So it's kind of nice when people
recognize
that out.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So thanks.
Yes, thanks.
Because I'm sure everybody else who hasn't read the books is just like
what? Who is this person?
If you haven't read them, definitely read The Wheel of Time. It's awesome. Yeah.
Take a year out of your life and start with book one and get all the way to book 14. And you're like...
So then he also says, I wonder what Ziggy Stardust will be up to tonight in Vikings. And that was before the episode aired.
That's awesome.
And then he writes, after he saw the episode, Lagertha is hot, capitalized H-O-T, Bjorn is a badass, and Ragnar can't lose. Yes, I have to agree with all that stuff.
Yeah, we're pretty good on that one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Mike Spa. Thanks, Briskier. Nice to have. Let's keep this up. We don't have access to the History Channel, so we stream on Amazon the next morning. So we would love to participate in conversation with you guys on those evenings. But if you guys can keep it up and we can have more listeners join in, get some chicks in there talking to, let's get some female point of view in here. Let's talk about Lagertha, Auslug. That'd be great. And we can report on what you guys say, the following morning when we podcast. This is the thing we live for. This is why we do this.
Anybody's got any opinions on like defending Oslog or, you know, that would be, that it would just throw an interesting angle into the conversation. I don't think anybody's going to come up with that, but I think most women side with Lagertha.
How can you not?
And Lagertha is, she's, I don't know if there's anybody to compare to her.
No.
You know?
Hmm.
And off the top of my head.
I mean, Princess Leia and maybe Linda Hamilton in a Terminator 2, but.
Avienda, perhaps.
Yeah, if we want to talk about books, very much Avienda.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Speculation time.
Yeah.
Speculation time. So on Lagertha, I definitely think she's coming back. I'm not going to say why. I've avoided saying. Speaking of when Briskier asked about the history book, I'm not going to do so much history nuggets because I regret like some things when I hear myself talking about it when I'm editing. It's like nails on a chalkboard because I don't know if I'm quoting things right. I could have exaggerated about the 40 feet axe throws. Maybe not.
You don't need to tell them that. You're good. You're fine. Don't worry about it.
Plus there was something I said about genocide, and I heard where the Saxons came into England, wiped out all the original inhabitants, and maybe that meant just England and not Scotland and Ireland, because that was when I was listening to this book about the genetic traces of Vikings through Ireland and England. But anyway, that was where that was mentioned. That was a book by Brian Sykes. But I just came across some more information actually in this Great Courses where it said that the Saxons came into England and those original inhabitants actually got pushed into Wales and Ireland and Scotland. So mm-hmm. I guess they weren't completely wiped out. So I just wanted to correct that. Did you have something to say?
Oh. No, I was just going to say that, you know, it's like you say at the beginning, though, we're doing this podcast as more to talk about the show mm-hmm. and fun. So, you know, we're not historians. So it's like, but if you want to throw out historical tidbits like that.
I love it personally.
Okay. Well, yeah. I'll just let it come off like naturally. I'm not going to plan for it like I've pretty much been doing. But anyway, with Lagertha, the reason why I haven't mentioned anything about what I know about her, because I have done some research, because she was a real character, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody. Mm-hmm. So if you want to know what that is, you can go and look it up. There's actually a Wikipedia page on her. That's why I haven't gone into what the Blood Eagle is, mm-hmm. things like that. That is up to you. That's on you to go look that up, because I know Steve does not like to be spoiled.
Oh, Paul does not.
And
it
so
drives me nuts.
And plus, it's fun for me, even though I know these things, to see their reactions when we're sitting watching the show. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy that.
Or just to see how much of a different track that they're going to take with the
that
history
too.
Channel.
Yeah. So you had something to say about Rollo and Ragnar, Steve?
Yeah, I actually, as far as speculation is concerned, I don't have too much in the way of that. Just to say that I think Rollo's stock is going to keep rising if mm-hmm. he keeps acting the way he is. And my least favorite character in this episode was actually Ragnar. And the reason being is because he's getting greedy, you know. Like the way he was handling the problem with the three guys who were accusing the other guy, you know, when he was putting his Earl hat on. And he's like, actually, I don't stand with you. I stand with the person you're accusing. And I'm going to make you – and he looks at his kid, and his kid's holding up three fingers just arbitrarily. And he goes, pay three sheep. He's not taking it seriously. This is a serious job. I mean, you're maintaining the governance of a village. You need to take it seriously. And then
– contrast to King Ecbert.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very contrasting King Ecbert, because he's taking everything he does very seriously.
Yeah.
He's on point with that stuff. So Ragnar's doing that, you know, and he's talking to the seer about how he wants to have his cake and eat it too, be the proverbial dog with two bones. That's another reference if anybody gets that. It's the name of an episode in a show.
Can I say it?
No.
Okay.
No, because I want people to write in and be like, oh, it was one of the last
Happy
episodes.
Oh,
yeah, exactly. Thank you. Happy days. But it was Cheers.
We'll
it's not. It's a sci-fi show. But anyway.
It's a good episode,
too. He's being greedy with that. You know, he's not thinking about how anybody else feels except for his own feelings. You know, he caused these problems because of his inability to control things. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't want to deal with them. He just wants them to become – he wants to make a net negative become a net positive without any work on his own part. And the only thing that he did that I liked, besides the fight scenes – he was really good in the fight scenes. I'm always rooting for him there. And in general, I'm obviously sympathetic towards his character because he's the main protagonist of the show. But he asked the messenger – He says, what of Æthelstan?
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of cool because he's worried about him. You know, he wants to know what's going on with him. Did he die? Did he convert back mm-hmm. over? Is he, you know, going to be able to work as a spy or what's going on?
He cares for Æthelstan.
Oh, absolutely.
But as far as this ties in with any kind of speculation, I just think that it looked like they were kind of, they wanted you to feel the way I feel about Ragnar right now. And they wanted you to feel the way I feel about Rollo right now. And I don't think their roles are going to become reversed or anything like that. That's kind of crazy. But that's pretty much all I had. I think they're setting something up. I have no idea what it is, but I just wanted to use this as a way to say that I was a little disappointed in his character this episode. That's all.
I didn't think much about it. I guess I didn't get the cues that the episode was mm-hmm. wanting me to feel toward Ragnar.
I think it's just realistic to Ragnar's character in the past, too. He's always kind of been this way. I don't think he ever really wanted to be there, Earl. It just happened because he wanted to go. I mean, he said it in the last episode. He's a farmer. You know, I don't think he enjoys putting the Earl hat on, mm-hmm. you know. So I think it's just him staying to character in this episode. But we see the better side of Rollo in this episode. So it's his coming through, you know. So I don't know. I think we're definitely going to see Lagertha again, but I think it's going to be in the same way we saw her this time. Whenever he needs men or a group to come and help him, I think that's when she's going to show up again, because we know Jarlborg's going to come back, and I think he's going to come back with a full-blown army. I mean, I think he's got that kind of clout. I don't know if it's going to be this season or next season. And we have to worry about the two kings in England getting together and possibly coming, you know, over to fight yeah. also. So he's going to need her and her village to be able to come and fight, because we still don't know if that other king doesn't come back. Does Ragnar, I mean, who becomes king of that area if he doesn't come back? Because both of his sons have died, and him, if he's dead. I'm just saying, if he doesn't come back, then who takes care? Who's the new king of that area?
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good question.
Yeah. So it's preparing us for, I think, a big battle in two different directions. And, I mean, it could be at the same time.
Jarlborg. Jarlborg is easily frightened, but he'll soon be back.
Oh, yeah. Greater numbers. He's that kind of jerk. He's like, well, if I can't beat you with what I've got, I'm going to go back and get a full-blown army. Yeah, exactly. So I think we're just bracing ourselves. And then with Æthelstan, I don't know. That's what I love about him, is that I have no idea what to expect. I have what I'd like to expect, but I don't think it's even close to being correct. Yeah.
He's definitely the most interesting
Absolutely.
Character that you have. The way his story unfolds, it's always a surprise.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the best things about this show is that it's even though you're working off of historical material, it still maintains this level of unpredictability that's great for the viewer, because I just don't know what's going to go on. You know, I have little speculations here and there.
Yeah.
But overall, it's kind of like blank slate. So I'm like, you know, waiting for that next episode. Well. Like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? I mean, dare I say, it's the best show on TV right now. So
I would say so.
The amount of shows I'm watching is few, but yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's like Em said, too. They have one dedicated writer, and it's showing what he wants it to go. And you can tell that he's put a lot of time and effort in the development of all of his characters. Yeah. And you don't have the other writers coming in and kind of tweaking it the way they like it. So it's fantastic. Other shows might want to take a note from this.
Mm-hmm. Definitely said something to be said for creative control mm-hmm. like that. You know,
consistency.
Not letting other people throw their pinch of salt into the recipe. Mm-hmm. And
I'm not going to lie, I kind of hope books come out of this show. I would read the crap out of
them. Oh, yeah. Man, I hadn't thought of that. That would be awesome.
Yeah. Rollo's own run or Floki's origin and how he gets to be the way he is. It'd be fantastic.
You imagine like the Vikings expanded universe and they could do prequels and sequels and side stories.
That would be awesome. Movie.
Somebody's already should have considered this, but I'm if sure they haven't, be listening to us. You got three people who'd buy it right here.
In a minute.
Yeah.
Comic books. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff.
I do think there will be a big battle this season, but I think it's going to be in England. I don't think they're going to come over to Scandinavia. That's my prediction, and I do think Lagertha will contribute. Aslaug also interests me. I'm hoping that there's going to be a little bit more to her than just baby-making.
There will be. She's not just going to go away or just be a baby-maker. I think she's going to have more. Yeah. I think she's going to have more.
There's more to her in the saga. In fact, when we were talking about her fear of dirt, I was wondering maybe if they, because they haven't told us about her childhood, because her childhood in the saga, you know, she was treated pretty badly and lived in poor conditions. And I thought about it after we podcasted, maybe that was
that
the source of her disgust, you know. Mm-hmm. But anyway.
Doesn't want to go back to living this squalor. Makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's like somebody who works hard all their lives, they don't want their children to have to go through what they went through. You know, they want their children to have an easier time of it.
Yeah. So that gives a better positive spin on her, if that's
right. Yeah, that is true. Then I have to take back all those things I said about
being me too.
The dainty princess who doesn't want to get her hands dirty.
But we don't know if that's her story, because as far as we know, according to the show, she's had people serving her, cooking for her, things like that. We don't know if they're actually following along with that particular thing, because she's, according to the show, the second wife, which she was actually the third wife in the book, and the second wife died from disease. So that also could be maybe she did have a prophecy about disease and maybe being the second wife. But I hope that's not a spoilery thing to say.
It's not just at more all. Of like, no, that's good. I mean,
she was the second wife to her last husband or to Ragnar?
To Ragnar. But in the book, he had a second wife named Thora.
So there was somebody between her and Lagertha in the book.
But Lagertha's not actually mentioned in the saga, but she's mentioned elsewhere. So it's like there's a lot of like different sources if you combine them.
Yeah, different things too. Yeah. Like that's why Spartacus.
Yeah, that's why it's probably not
actual names and people connected together.
Conglomerate characters. Yeah.
Yeah, so I guess it doesn't matter if it gets to be too spoilery, or you feel like history is going to be too spoilery because they're not really following it that closely.
I'm still not going to say anything what I know about Lagertha, and I'm not going to say certain things that I know about Ragnar either.
They're going to kill people. That's it.
My grand prediction.
All right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Once again, if you want to contribute to the conversation, check out our website at noship.net and go to our contact page. And you can write us an email right on our Facebook page or tweet us at our Twitter account. I'm not going to beg. Forget that.
If you don't like it, fuck off. No, I'm kidding. Go fuck yourselves.
And once again, the best way to support us is to go on to iTunes. Throw some stars at us. You don't have to actually write anything. You can, you know, but writing something's also very nice. So until next time, which the next episode is episode 6, and it is titled Unforgiven.
Apple stands in trouble. Or Rolo. Could be Rolo, too.
He needs to ease up on Rolo for a while.
Yeah, the guy's done all right.
Yeah, he's... He's making his comeback.
He's in trouble for grabbing Bjorn's balls.
You never know, man. Maybe that's just the thing.
It's got to be. Otherwise, why the hell would you do that?
Rolo goes into his little cabin, and Chris Hansen is there. Why don't you have a seat?
Want a brownie?
All right, and as our email listener wrote in, all hail Lagertha. Let's end on that note.
All right.
Good night.
Bye. Good night. This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.